Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
This is kind of a little bit of a personal thing for me, but it was right around 4 years ago, around this time, that our family said goodbye to Tyler. And he went off to the States, and it's going to be just about another 3 weeks before we say goodbye to Bree. And she heads off back to the States. And you know, as a dad, it's times like these that kind of remind me a lot about what a special gift being a dad is, you know? And really how thankful I am that I get to be a dad. And maybe, you know, you guys have gone through this a little bit where you see your kids leave home and you know that feeling of like beaming pride, but there's like that little bit of worry, but there's like, you know, you got a little bit of sadness, you got all those mixed emotions in. You're so proud of how your kids have gotten to the point where they are, and you're just hopeful that they continue to grow and all of the things that the mixed emotions that go on there. So these past couple of months for me have been that moment of reflection on thinking back about the time that I got to spend as a dad. And, you know, as I reflect back and I look back on my father, on my being a dad to my kids, there's things that I thought, you know, I did okay with. I know I could have done better, but I think I did okay in some areas. And, you know, some areas where I've really learned that I've grown and where I started out at the beginning of being a dad to where I am now, I've grown a lot in. And of course, there's some things that for me, I've regretted. Like, man, I wish I would have done so much better in these areas of my being a dad. I think we all have those areas, right? Some areas, okay, I think I did okay here. Some things, oh, I've grown here. I can tell I've grown here. And man, some things I wish I could have done better. And these, I think, are part of us being dads and, of course, moms as well. I don't know about you, and I know this isn't how everybody thinks, but this is one of the ways that I think is that having a clearer perspective of my future deeply affects my present. Having a clear perspective of my future deeply affects my present. Knowing what I know about my future really motivates me to live more in the present, if you know what I mean. For example, the more I recognize the reality of my future in heaven, when I see my future in heaven clearly, it motivates me to live here on earth more intentionally, more wisely, more presently recognizing my future. Even in 2 Corinthians 4:18, it reminds us of this, to set our eyes on the future. It says, while we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We're reminded of the future that we have with Jesus, that we may not be able to see it physically, but just as real as if it was right there in front of us. And so having our eyes on a perspective on our future helps us to live in the present. In that same context, knowing that one day I will have to say goodbye to my kids has often motivated me to immerse, to be present with my kids, enjoy being present with them. And I've learned that those times through the years, as I look back, when I've seen that, hey, this time is coming where I'm going to say goodbye to my kids, has motivated me to be present with my kids as they have grown up. And it's those times when I forget about the fact that they will one day be gone, that they will one day leave the house, that has ultimately pulled me away from what is important. Things that are temporal, things that aren't last, things that aren't important really in the life of me, on the life of my kids, tend to pull me away from it when I don't have the reality of their future in my perspective, right? So as parents, it's very critical that we invest in our kids' future by living in their present day. Not just to help them to grow in maturity when they're older, but also to share life with them in the moment, right then, to be present with them. to grow in your love together as father and child. So we're going to look at how these two things work. The perspective of future focus and the presence of living now, present living. How does future focus and present living tie in together for us as dads, as moms, as we care for our kids? Especially, and I want to think about this more in a biblical fatherhood perspective. How do I invest in the future of my kids' spiritual walk with God by being present with them in their spiritual walk with God now? We want to think about this. Of course, this has this future focus and present living can apply to any aspect of fatherhood, right? But we want to kind of focus our thoughts a little bit about what does the Bible say about how we invest in the future, focus on the future of our kids' spiritual lives by investing, by being present with them in their current spiritual walk with God. And this is kind of where we're going to look at. There are three different areas that we can look at today. And we're going to, those three different areas are different areas of our lives as dads and, of course, moms as well. And how our lives, how we see these three specific aspects of our lives have a deep impact on our kids' spiritual walk with God. The first thing is this: focus on your children's future walk with God by living it with them in the present. Focus on your future walk with your kids by living that walk of their spiritual walk with them in the present. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7 has some very helpful things to remind us of this. Deuteronomy 6 says this. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. You know what? Let me turn to it too, because I gotta get to it. Deuteronomy 6. It says this: Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And this is interesting. It goes from focusing on yourself to focus on living it with them in their lives too. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. Oh, I didn't get that far, right? 6-7, right? So basically, here's what it's talking about. In this context, and this is interesting, Deuteronomy 6 is a very interesting passage because the whole book of Deuteronomy is basically Moses' final instructions for the children of Israel before they enter the promised land. We're looking at two very different lifestyles between these two generations. Those who are the older generation, the directions that Moses gives to the older generation is this: listen, you guys have seen firsthand amazing miracles that God has pulled off. You've gone through some very, very difficult times. You've seen miracles happen. You've seen how your fathers have told you of leaving Exodus and all that happened for them to be freed. And then you live the life through the desert and seeing how God firsthand provided your meals each morning. Each day he fed you with his own hand. You've seen miracles of water being taken care of all of the different ways in which God protected you as you traveled through the desert. Your kids are going to be living a very different lifestyle than you. They're going to be at home. They're going to have all of their needs taken care of, cared for by your Heavenly Father, but much more of an indirect way. They're going to have the land flowing with milk and honey, fruit that is amazing, food that's just plenteous and abounding. There is little fear from enemies as you walk through their places of their through their cities and different things. You have your home. And so your kids are going to grow up very differently than how you grew up, seeing firsthand the miracles of God. And so it's critical that you remind them consistently of the presence and the power of God in not just your lives, but in their lives. This is what he's pointing to. All aspects of their day, live as if God were right there with them too, just as He is. So how do the parents teach the kids not to be satisfied with the good things that they enjoy, but instead to be satisfied in the one who gives them those things? The answer was simple. Love God. Don't forget to love God. Just as you have all things that are prepared for you, don't forget to love God yourself. Be reminded day in and day out of the goodness of your Heavenly Father. But also, as you love God and walk with God, don't forget to walk with God with your family. So what does that look like? What does walking with God with your kids look like? And there's just a couple of different ways. I could just, this aspect alone could be like a whole series, but we're not going to do a whole series in one sermon. But I want to point out a few things that you can do. The first thing is this: spend time with God together and have spiritual conversations about life. This is basically what Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7 is talking about, right? Spend time with God together. And really, this is all about spending time with God on their level, not yours. We have to be reminded of what their level of understanding of who their Heavenly Father is, and be willing to go to that level to share with them what they can see and what they can personalize and internalize about who their Heavenly Father is. Like recognizing who God is, knowing who God is as a little boy or as a little girl and as a teenage boy and as a teenage girl, seeing those ways in which God is truly visible to them. Bring it down to their level, right? Like if you see that, and if you understand that and live that out, that means like, you know, as a kid, you know, you're walking through life, maybe like go through the Bible app, you know, and like for kids, you know, and like walk through the Bible together with them and say, hey, this is what God's like. Isn't that really cool? You know, and get down to their level and live life with them where they're at. When we have a future perspective of what they're going to be, live in the present where they are in their spiritual walk. Maybe you have unsaved children whose focus in life is not to love God. Maybe their focus isn't on, maybe our Heavenly Father is not their Heavenly Father yet. Take time to spend time with them. Take advantage of those brief moments that you have with intimate, close, personal conversation with them and say, and then remind them of who God is to you. That's really important. Not just to teach them of who God is, but to personalize it. This is what God has done for me, and this is how God is to me. You know, a couple of things I thought about was like, I know that this good thing happened because God loves me. God loves me so much. This is what He did for me. It's amazing. But you know what? God loves you too. And you know, personalize it. Not just like, you know, the Bible says this, 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 right? Isn't that really cool? But rather personalize it. It's amazing how much of gospel sharing is personal experience. God did this for me. He can do this for you too. We see this not just in the apostles' life, but also in the people that were reached by Jesus that were reached through the gospel. They turn around and they said, this happened to me. So amazing. And it can happen to you too, right? Personal aspect, living life, even in the difficult times. I know that even through this hard thing that is happening in my life, I can trust God in it. I know that He loves me very much. Even when things are difficult and you're struggling and you're having a difficult time, life isn't going the way you wanted it to go. And yet that calm assurance, that peace that passes all understanding is incredibly helpful and eye-opening to your kids, who learn more about who God is through how you live, along with how you teach them, but how you live has a great impact on them. Another thing is this, just the recognition of sin. Have you ever thought about what it means for kids to recognize that they are sinners? Teach them to recognize their own sin by confessing and repenting your own sin. James 5:16 says this, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Sometimes the best way to help our kids learn the presence and the effects of sin in their own lives is to show the presence of it and the effects of it in your life. Have you ever thought about how we see sin and how we think? Like, I was talking with Brianna about this morning. It was really interesting. As hard as we try, we cannot teach our kids not to sin. As hard as you try, you cannot teach your kids not to sin. Because they're going to, just like you do. But what we can do is teach our kids to consistently confess and forsake sin. Sometimes our lack of confessing our own sin in front of our kids makes it very difficult for our kids to confess their sin in front of us. Have you ever thought about that? My mom and dad are so good, or my mom and dad don't do anything wrong, so I keep messing up. I cannot live up to my mom and dad's standards. Have you ever thought about how that might affect the way our kids see sinning and confessing and repenting of sin? It's important for us to recognize, hey, mom and dad sin. Mom and dad mess up. Mom and dad have to say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Mom and dad have to tell that to their kids so that it makes it easy for them to say, hey, this is part of life. This is me understanding that I will sin. And when I do sin, I just confess it. I forsake it. I confess it and repent it. When we teach our kids consistency and understanding that confessing and forsaking and, of course, trying not to sin. That's important to remember. That it's not just easy for us not to, in the context of you know, it's okay to sin because all you got to do is confess it and forsake it and you good, you know. That's not what we're trying to teach them, but it's important that we teach them the importance of confessing and forsaking. So the first part is this, focusing on our kids. The future focus of our kids' spiritual walk greatly affects our present living of the spiritual walk with them. But there's more to it than just that. As dads, the future focus of our kids' stability is involved in the present living with our wives. Invest in your children's future family by living with your wife in the present. Have you ever wondered how your son defines the characteristics of fatherhood? How does your son see what a good dad is? What does he think a dad should be like? What are his goals in being a dad? What will your daughter look for in her future husband and the future dad of her children? Where does she get that foundation for knowing what a good husband or a good father is and what isn't a good husband or a good father? Most often, it will be the characteristics that you show them in your relationship with your wife. In other words, things that you think are okay in your life are going to be things that they think are okay in their life. Things that you have place a high priority in your life are very often things that they place a high priority in their life. And so that relationship, the things that how you live, your future focus on your kids growing up and their fatherhood aspect, perspective, is incredibly motivating for us to live in the present with our lives. Here's what Ephesians 5:25 says. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And here's the interesting thing. Okay, so we get the future focus, right? Love your wives so that your kids see what it means to love their wife in the future. Future focus. Be an example of what it means to be a dad. Be what it means to be a loving husband, right? But there's also very present effects, present things that happen from our future focus. One of them is this. Your present intentional love and care for your wife will strengthen your relationship with her. You two will be closely knit together. Your husband-wife relationship will become more intimate, more stable, more mature. And here's what happens when that happens. that stability, that deep bond relationship with mom and dad does something amazing. It provides stability. It gives assurance and confidence. It gives peace and contentment to your children. They know that mom and dad love each other, and that that love for one another are helpful in them living seeing what a healthy mom and dad relationship is, and having a healthy relationship gives them that calm stability. Loving your wife. Dads, love your wives. Love your wives. That loving your wife has a deep impact, not only on the future of your kids, but also in the present aspect of your kids' lives. And here's thirdly is this. Invest in your children's future faith in Jesus by living in your present faith. Invest in their future faith by living in your present faith. Dads, we have a very unique role in our lives. If you think about it, we display two characteristics of God's relationships with us as humans. One is the role of Jesus and how he displays the relationship of a husband to a wife. Jesus' role and how Jesus loves the church. Husbands, love your wives as Jesus loves the church and gave himself for it. That self-sacrificial aspect of Jesus' love for the church. We get to represent that in how we love our lives. But we also get to see the fatherly aspect of our Heavenly Father. We get to represent the Heavenly Father's aspect of how God loves his children and the magnificent, abundant love that the Heavenly Father gives to his children. We get to display those very two unique and amazing characteristics of God. It's a big role. It's big steps, big shoes to fill, if you know what I mean. And if you're like me, having that aspect of being able to show the kids is who God is, how Jesus loves us, and how God as our Heavenly Father loves us can be sheer terror in the context of there is no way that I am going to be able to show God's love as a dad to my kids. There is no way that I'm going to be able to love my wife nearly the way Jesus loves his church. How in the world do I display that? It can become overwhelming. Why? Because I know my failures. I know my weaknesses. I know that there is no way I can do that. In my own ability, I cannot love my wife to the degree that Jesus loves me. I cannot love my kids the way God loves us. So knowing my weaknesses, knowing my failures, what do I do? How do I live these two insane roles that God has allowed me to have? John 15 is a good reminder. John 15, verses 4 and 5 say this. Jesus said, "Abide in me, and I in you." Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except that it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I want you to focus on two things Jesus says. The first part of it is, Jesus says that without him, you can't do anything. And that's the reality of who we are. It's a description of us. He's describing us in our own strength. As much physical, mental strength that you think you have, spiritually, without the help of Jesus, without the Holy Spirit in you, you're dead. You can do nothing. Boy, that's a great encouragement, isn't it? We're basically helpless, right? We can do nothing in our own strength. Especially in displaying the roles of our Heavenly Father and the roles of us as a husband. There's no way we're going to be able to do that. But that's not all Jesus says. He says that when we abide in him, He abides in us. What a great promise. He abides in us. We spend time with him and he will give us fruit. This is amazing if you think about it. The fruit that Jesus gives to us, that he grows in us because we abide in him. We spend time with him. We abide in him and he connects himself to us and produces his fruit in us. That fruit is amazing in the fact that fruit ultimately displays who Jesus is. Think about that. The fruit that Jesus bears in our lives, produces in our lives, is basically descriptions of who Jesus is. So as we abide in him, as dads to our kids, as we abide in him, as husbands to our wives, the fruit that Jesus, the display that Jesus has in loving his church, he produces that display in our lives for our kids and for our wives to see. That, your time abiding in Jesus to produce the visible fruit in their lives. This is why just reading the Bible each day, just taking time, spending time with Jesus is critical. This is, and this, I mentioned this earlier. It's in my notes earlier, but I didn't mention it. But it's really interesting how we read our Bibles. You know, our goal, sometimes we have this goal. Hey, I want to read my Bible through in a year. I want to read every chapter of the Bible, right? Massive task, massive responsibility, massive goal that we have. And yet we have this massive goal. And what we do is we take a chapter at a time, a couple chapters a day, read through it. And as we spend time reading, you know, one of the things is, how do you eat an elephant? A spoonful at a time, you know, that kind of context, right? And so in that same context, we have this massive goal of being able to accomplish this mission of reading through the Bible in a year or reading the Bible through, right? And each moment we spend reading the Bible is a moment we spend abiding in Jesus, spending time with our Father, growing more and more intimate, seeing more and more of how he of his spiritual aspects and how he loves us and cares for us in our daily lives. Each moment is a time where we get to spend sharing our concerns with our Heavenly Father, but also seeing the great care with which he sees and meets those concerns that we have and the cares that we have. That daily interaction with our Heavenly Father, that daily walking with Jesus, abiding with Jesus, is what produces massive, massive fruit. That literally, in our own strength, is impossible to do, but because Jesus abides in us and grows his fruit in our lives, we are able to somehow, miraculously, display what it means to be a dad in a spiritual aspect. To let our kids see a glimpse of their Heavenly Father through us, who we know are miserable sinners. Somehow the fruit of Jesus abiding in us allows our kids to see the love Jesus has for us in sacrificing himself for us. This is helpful for us. So as we think about this, have that future focus, present living aspect in your mind as you live. Think about the future of your kids by living in their present. Spend time with their spiritual growth. Think about their future walk with God by walking with God with them now. Think about their future family by being present with your family, caring for your wife the way you ought to provide a stable home, to give them confidence and assurance in their life now. And spend time that you need abiding in Jesus now so that you can help them to see what it means to have a loving Heavenly Father, a groom who sacrifices everything for the bride, the church, them as the bride of Jesus. The future focus and present living. It's a simple thought, but it can really, really affect how you and I live each day of our lives. Walking with our kids, being present with our kids, being present with our life, or with our wife, and being present with Jesus. That deeply affects the future of our kids. Just a simple thought. I hope you were able to take that and to be able to apply it to your life as you, as a dad and a husband, care for your family in a way that God has given you that special privilege of doing. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for how you love us. Thank you for how you care for us. It's amazing as we're reminded of the lofty goals that we have been given as husbands and dads, and the insurmountable responsibility that comes with it. Knowing that who we are, we cannot do it. But as we abide in you, you give us the strength to do it. You enable what is impossible in our lives to become possible. Thank you for that. Thank you for walking with us. Thank you for abiding in us. That's amazing to just think about that. Help us to be present with our kids. Help us to be future-focused while living in their presence. In Jesus' name, amen.